This is Never Winter Nights podcast for a week of March 16th, 2007. This is episode 18.
This is the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a weekly show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series. Hello, I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda. And this week, sitting in for Trey, is the newest member of the Neverwinter Nights podcast team, Michelle, a.k.a. Liso. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Jay. How are you tonight?
Doing great.
Fabulous.
So have you been playing anything lately?
I have been not playing anything new lately. Unfortunately, this week I've been
kind
of playless.
You're still playing Vanguard, aren't you?
I haven't played it for almost a week and a half.
Really?
It's just been a really crazy busy week, and I haven't had a chance to do anything. I am planning on playing some more Desaria 2, possibly Thursday or Friday, though.
Yeah, I've been hearing you guys talk about that, and I know we got an interview coming up later in the show.
Yes,
that,
we do.
I'm looking forward to hearing the whole thing, but you guys have definitely perked my interest, and my next week of vacation is coming up next week, so I'm prepared. The PWC is downloaded, it's installed, and I'm ready. So
are you going to come in with us and play?
I'll be on.
Are you going to be like brave like Trey and go out there and get slaughtered?
Well, I'm going to do a little bit of both. I think I'm going to check in and log in on my own, and then whenever you guys get on later at night after we get all the kiddos to bed and everything else like that, we got to team up and party up and go figure out what's going on.
I agree. I have a good time. And I'm just learning how to role play, so I'm having a really fun time with it.
Well, some of the things else we want to talk about is our chat we had on the Thieves Guild.
Yeah.
We're also going to be discussing a little bit about Sundren. It has become a permission-to-play system because of the demand that they've been getting on their servers over there.
Yeah, Merrick told me about the Sundren and their new system.
Godbeast X is one of the DMs, and he had posted, said, after speaking with just about everyone, it's been agreed that Sundren will be changing to a permission-to-play system. So this means that in order to play on Sundren, which will be password and other security measures, you will be required to submit your character and player login for approval in the forums. So the reason to change is the influx of the RPers and power gamers and grinders. So I guess some of the players, the world's getting out of control for them, so they had to kind of rein it back in. So if you've been playing that world and try to log back in and can't, then you know why. You need to go post your stuff to their forums and get it approved so you can get back in there. I think Trey has submitted his character, but it hasn't been approved yet.
I actually was going to submit a character, and I got stumped and couldn't figure out what to type. And so I have a little thing going on in MS Word doing my thing, and when I get it all done, I'll submit it.
Oh, well,
they want like a bio and everything. So.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Total story. Not just what your character class is, alignment, and so forth. They want a bio of your character.
Oh, well, I wouldn't be able to do that. I'm not.
I am horrible at it. I have no idea what to do.
I'm not that steeped at it yet.
Right, exactly. Same here. I might just have somebody else do it. I'll find some geeky D&D player and write one up for me.
Well, I want to thank you for sitting in for the last 2 weeks while I was out and taking my spot. You did a wonderful job covering that
thank
seat.
You.
And I think everyone else feels the same way as I do, so... That's why you are now official Neverwinter Nights podcast team member, and you'll have to work really hard to get rid of us because we're kind of like working on
it. Already.
Well, I've been checking, and I haven't seen any questions come in. So, listener questions, we don't have any. I know we used to fill this section with our feedback, and that stuff had gotten so lengthy on several shows that we didn't. Want to get to do that all the time. We just want to try to find some questions, research that.
Well, if we have no questions, we can just randomly pick maybe a couple of feedbacks to throw out there.
Yeah, we can. I know that we had several people comment on what a good job you were doing.
Ooh. I didn't pay them, honest.
Yeah, let's see, like Halloween Foxy and Ree and, well, there's a comment from you.
Yeah, milk and cookies, guys. Milk and cookies. That's all
so
I said.
You got to partake in the milk and cookies yourself this time.
Hey, you know, and no one brought me any milk and cookies, so I just had, like, diet iced tea.
And let's see, there's Trey and myself, and then Preshul, I guess. That's the first I've seen one of those.
Actually, he's from the Carthosa.
Now, is it Carthosa or Carthusa?
You know, I'm not sure. Maybe we should ask him.
Because
to do
if
that
I
for
remember
us.
Correctly, there is, like, in mythology somewhere, there is the name Carthusa keeps coming to my mind. When I listened to the last episode, I was like, I wonder what it is, because...
Well, he didn't get mad at us, so apparently we didn't butcher it too awful much. But maybe you want to read his feedback, considering he's thanking us for...
Yeah, he said he just wanted to say thanks for featuring their site in the podcast, and I'll keep you updated if there's any more info I would like to be interested in. And he also wanted to thank you on behalf of all of Neverwinter Nights and Neverwinter Nights 2 community for keeping everyone in the loop and for all your hard work, so... I appreciate that. That was really awesome. And
well, maybe in the soon future he will do a spotlight for his development.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
I was really hoping we'd start getting a bunch of those, but something's building over time. So.
Oh, yeah. We'll get it. I'll start sending out milk and cookies.
Speaking of a mod spotlight, we will... I wanted to do one thing. Here's a little bit different than what we normally do for the mod spotlight, is that I just was playing around on the vault and noticed that they do a mod spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, in lieu of when we don't have one, we could talk about the ones that they're spotlighting.
Yeah, great idea.
Before we get into all that, I've noticed a couple of things new on the vault.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
Well, over on the right-hand side, where they used to have the list of all the Hall of Fame stuff, they've redone that segment. It's got a different background on it, and now it's got a tab, so you can switch between Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2 for listings of the Hall of Fame, or for new modules, or international modules, or hack packs. So
yeah, I actually did see that. I was at the vault just yesterday, yeah, I think. I actually did see that. That was pretty sweet.
So that's been an update to their site that looks really cool. It's very well done. And, well, look, Desaria 2 is on the top game worlds again. And I was going to say we could just go through that a little bit later, too, and list out some of the top modules we've got going on over there. I've got both of them pulled up right now, so we can go through that a little bit.
I can do the same.
But for Neverwinter Nights 1, this is a module for, it's called D20 Modern 1.0. It's by the D20 mod team.
Mm-hmm.
And they just reviewed it yesterday. It says, D20 Modern has expanded Neverwinter Nights into a modern and futuristic world while still retaining some of the things we all love about Neverwinter Nights visually, namely some of the character heads, and also makes use of the CEP2, so that's the Community Expansion Pack 2. It says, modern clothes, modern weapons, tile sets, sounds, portraits, and the list is endless, and quite frankly, astounding. It said, 18 custom classes, custom feats, and skills, including the ability to jump, folks.
Huh.
So it really jump using the CRAP system. That's a good acronym. So the use of multi-level walk meshes means you can literally have freeways in the air, as well as a whole underground tunnel terrain, with a choice of weapons such as Beretta, Glock, Desert Eagle, Uzi, Winchester, and many more coupled with all the goodies. Said the PDF reads like something between Prince of Persia, Fallout, Neverwinter Nights, and many other action-packed games by their modern instead of the tiles that they use.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it sounds really cool. I was reading it before we got on here, like, man, I'm still... If they can do this, someone could do a Stargate mod. I'm telling you.
Stargate, huh?
Still working vision for the Stargate mod. I just finished watching a couple episodes.
We'll make one.
If I had the time, I'd be all over that. I couldn't find the Neverwinter Nights 2 mod spotlight, so I don't know if they've been doing that same thing for both of them just yet.
Yeah, there really isn't a whole lot of modules for Neverwinter Nights 2 yet.
There are, but there are not that many, but the ones that are out there, they're building steam really fast, so I'd expect to see this anytime soon.
Well, I've played a couple of them now. There's so many hack and slash ones, though, so I have to sit around and wait for, you know, the sissy ones that I can go around and just talk to people and do puzzles and have fun. That's because that's what I like to do.
So yeah, I played on Sundering, and because that was, even though it was, at the time, it was just a single area, he's done so much work on it since we started it, and the next time I went to play it, were major improvements. It was just really evolving very fast.
Yeah,
and
Johnny,
I need to get back on there and check on that again.
When Johnny Ree and I were looking for Persistent Worlds to play, we actually went on one that was based on Lord of the Rings, but it just never stayed up long enough for us to get in there.
Oh.
And I think they were doing a lot of testing, and that's how we ended up finding the Desiree 2. And we got in it, and we were just having a great time. So I haven't really been migrated over to any other ones yet, but we plan on it.
That, I think Ken was going to go check out a Persistent Worlds where you basically have to build everything.
Oh, wow.
Isindor, I think, was the name of it. It's very heavy in crafting. Which
okay.
He loves that kind of stuff. I mean, this world is you can't do anything without, you know, you wind up clothless, penniless, and you have to build it all. Said that the characters basically never get above level 5 because of the amount of crafting stuff you have to do to get your character going.
Well, I guess if you are into that whole labor-intensive kind of thing.
Yeah, he loves that kind of stuff, so I mean, he'll probably...
Yeah, there's a lot of people who really are into the crafting, and I personally, I'm just too lazy.
Hey, I'm like I am in real life. It's a means to an end. If I need a weapon and I have to go get a jewel to set in the weapon to make the weapon better, I might do a little crafting. But it's all to get the better weapon.
Right, exactly. This is true. This is true. I have gone to the means of actually doing some stuff to enhance what I've got, but to actually just build stuff from the ground up and completely outfit myself, no, I don't do it.
I'll admit, in the original OC for Neverwinter Nights 2, when I got all those templates to craft stuff, I wound up selling them the moment I got to the next merchant that would take them.
It's all about the gold.
Yeah, it was. Hey, I came across a site... talking about Persistent Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
It is the nwn2mu.com. I don't know if you've heard of this site or not. It is a module updater. I know that Sundren has kind of got one that they use their own that they've built, which is a very unique approach to that, and we can talk about that a little bit too. But this one is very unique that it can be used by different Persistent Worlds.
Oh,
and
okay,
I think the last count there were like 20-something servers already had registered here. And you can download that client and point it to those Persistent World modules, and it'll automatically update all the files that go with it. And I think it was just not just the PWCs, but, you know, walk meshes and custom UIs and all that stuff it would pull down as well.
It is amazing how much stuff is out here for this game.
Yeah, you just keep looking and you keep finding more stuff.
Right. I mean, it is. It's just completely amazing how much stuff there is to just go look at for Neverwinter Nights and 2.
Yeah, this is actually sounding pretty sophisticated as well, because if, say, you set up your server and you have all your file structure set out, you put them in a zip file, and this downloader looks what's local on your machine and then looks at the zip file on the server and only downloads the files in the zip file that have changed.
Wow.
So it's really cool about that, because then if you had accidentally deleted or reinstalled and didn't have all the files, it would actually patch itself.
That's really neat.
So, yeah, it's really cool. Now, Sundren is going about that in a very similar fashion, except they're doing a bit downloader, and I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but...
A little bit.
If you have a version of a file and you have the next version of a file, there are only certain bits in the file that are different.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've got is a system where you only download the different bits.
Mm-hmm.
And your file gets, your local file will have those bits added to the right places to make it match what's on the server.
So that means a smaller download ultimately.
Yes, it makes a significantly smaller download, because you may have a humongous PWC file but only have 40 bits that are different. So
right.
Only 40 bits come down, not the 25 meg file.
That's pretty brilliant.
Yeah. So I want to share this that about Sundren and about this module updater, because right now they're in France, and there's mostly French servers that are on there, French modules, but I'm sure this kind of thing will pick up for any of the English speaker and international servers
right.
as well, because it's two good things in one. You get an updater that if your world wants to use it, you can scan it to match what you want it to look like. And it's something that the community can use as players, that they only have to have maybe one and be able to download a whole bunch of different worlds and keep them synced up.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely, I cannot, I'm just amazed at all the content that's out here for this game.
And there's more coming all the time.
All the time. And I'm waiting for more modules to come out.
Well, the other cool things I found, this is a general discussion forum on the BioWare Neverwinter Nights forums, is a post by Rob McGinnis of Obsidian.
Ah.
Says, so we've been receiving some emails about wanting a contest. We have talked about it a bit here and think it would be a lot of fun. Basically, it will be a module building contest. More information will be coming soon as we get closer to April. Basically, you'll have a limited amount of time to build something. That something will have a theme, and Obsidian probably will decide the winner.
Oh, that's great.
So prizes, of course, will be given. Stay tuned for more details. And that was posted yesterday.
Yeah, I actually, when I went through the episode format, I actually clicked on that and read it earlier today.
We used to play a lot of Unreal Tournament 2004, mm-hmm. and they had the Make Something Unreal contest, which went on for about a year. And it was people making models and modules and game mods and the whole thing. And actually, if you've heard of the game Red October, it was a complete World War II mod on top of Unreal Tournament 2004.
Hmm.
Different guns, different... They won that competition.
Mm-hmm.
And by winning that competition, they won the rights to the Unreal game engine.
Oh, wow.
So if you go to Best Buy or anywhere you buy your favorite games... your favorite digital media store, you will now be able to find a version of that game for sale on the shelf, because not only did they did that, win it rights to the game engine, they won like $10,000 cash, which allowed them to actually, boom, you are now a startup game company.
Oh, that's great.
So I don't know if this is going to be anything that big, but it was the content that came out of it just because of the drive to win this contest for these big prizes was incredible. There were humongous community expansion packs for Unreal Tournament that came out of the works of that, just for all the content that was generated for this competition.
Wow.
So I know I get kind of jazzed about it. You think about all the talent in the Neverwinter Nights community, and if they were given such contest to go take on, what they will produce.
Oh, I agree. I'm amazed by some of the talent that, you know, playing the modules and the persistent worlds now and everything else. I am absolutely amazed at how much talent there is out there and the quality of the content even. some of them are incredible writers and some of them build these incredibly beautiful worlds, you know, with the custom content and everything. And it's all just like, wow, you know, I really love playing these things and I really appreciate all the talented people that spend all their free time for us to play them.
Well, I look at it like this. You know, I spent $50 for the game.
Right.
If I divide that out by playing the OC and all the persistent worlds that I've worked on, they're paying me to play this game.
Basically, yeah. I mean, you really get, you know, that's some serious bang for your buck. And 5 years, 5 years of just stuff coming out left and right. Over one hand over fist, it's just fantastic. I've even said it many times that this community is amazing.
I agree.
Even than the MMORPGs where, you know, you get on their boards and most of them are just complaining about patches and everything else, whereas the Neverwinter Nights community, it truly is a community. I mean, they're all getting together, they're all building these wonderful, incredible projects and sharing it with the rest of the world, and, I mean, they're just truly a community.
If you guys haven't checked out Tweak Guides for the Neverwinter Nights, you need to go check it out. It is several pages of really good detailed information about how to get the client tweaked to run really well, lots of the graphic settings, and lots of good information about just how the client works.
See, in this guide, it has an introduction, essential optimization, troubleshooting tips, patches and mods, in-game settings PT2, advanced tweaking PT2, and neat stuff, and I think that's a word short for something, CONCL.
Conclusion?
Yep, maybe.
Yep, conclusion.
But it has a lot of stuff in here. I was actually reading through it yesterday evening, and I was actually impressed by the fact that some of my settings are already like that. So I've never had any major glitches with the game, ever. I've had the simple follow me command problem and a cutscene loop problem, and that's it. All the way from the beginning of no patches till now.
I haven't run into very many problems myself. I know that right now my client's still on the camera modes doesn't show all the text next to those boxes, but that seems to be very common. It's not a really big deal to me. Once you get it set, I don't go in there. But
my biggest issue is being in a persistent world and remembering to hit that enter key before I type. I'll start typing, and all of a sudden, everything on my screen disappears, and my character starts walking off into randomness. And I'm like, oh, enter key. Yeah, I always forget.
Well, see, I'd have the opposite effect whenever I go play in the OC. You know, I keep have to remind myself, I can pause the game and tell these people what to go do instead of just letting it play out.
Right.
And doing everything right as it's going, real time. You know, like,
pause is your friend in the OC.
Yeah, actually, I have a hard time remembering I can do that. Like, oh, I got to go back and do that again because I died. Why don't I pause it next time and tell these people what I want them to do?
Well, when we were in Desaria, too, I actually had to go take care of something with my son, and I hit the pause button. And
it
I was
doesn't
like,
work.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm just going to freestand here, and, you know, I hit the pause. I was like, I knew better. I actually knew better, but out of habit, I did it. So I'll get it. You know, I'll remember to hit that enter key and not hit the pause, so...
Hey, now, I did play some stuff, and I know I haven't been on for several weeks, but I know that I talked to you and mentioned this, so, but I've played the DMFI 101 DMing module for Neverwinter Nights 1. I haven't got all the way through it yet, but...
How's that going?
It's great. Mm. It really does a great job of teaching you what the capabilities are that you have at your fingertips as a DM.
Wow.
And some of the stuff that's in the DM client is stuff that we've been asking for and our people have been asking for the real client. As a DM can control multiple people at a time, which I thought was kind of cool. So you can group a bunch of people together and then go give them a common.
You can have the power.
Yeah. It's like, man, that's cool. But ever since we've started looking at DM-run persistent worlds, I've been trying to learn more about character building and DMing those worlds. And that was a great. I don't know if they have any plans of redoing it for Neverwinter Nights 2, but a lot of that same information will translate over if you have both of them and you are interested in learning it. The module is set up well enough that you can actually use it to run a DM event.
Wow, that's great.
And at the same time, if you log in with the DM client, it has several conversations that you follow. It just gives you instructions. Here's how you can do this. Here's how you can move to a spawn point. Here's how you can jump around or change these people or control this. And it just steps you through it at one area at a time. And every time you go into another area, you get a book in your inventory. And when you right-click on the book, it starts the conversation for the instructor to lead you through what you want to do. So it's a great job if you guys are interested in Dungeon Mastering or the Dungeon Master Friendly Initiative. I highly recommend you go check that module out because it's
so is this
good.
Something that you're wanting to do?
You know, I wouldn't mind. Mm-hmm. But I'm the person I like to know how things work. So whenever we started playing Sundering and played some of these others, I was like, I wanted to know how they did all that stuff.
Ah, okay.
So, but it is an interest of mine, and I might, when I feel competent enough, I might try that some more time.
Have you played all the OC original campaign and expansions for Neverwinter Nights 1?
I've played some of them. I have those on my laptop because it's just not as big of a machine. I'm required to play that. So anytime I travel for work or anything like that, I usually break that out and play it. Although Half-Life 2 has been dominating that space whenever I'm not here on my big machine.
I've never played Half-Life. When you guys hear the interview tonight, please bear with me. It was my very first interview. So if you guys want to leave feedback about it, be kind.
And with that, we'll just get on with the interview.
Hi, we have Desaria 2 from Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent Worlds. And I would like you to each take a turn and introduce yourself. Maybe tell us a little bit about your role in Desaria 2. And some hobbies, where you're from.
My name is Mel Fabian, a.k.a. Mel. I'm a co-founder and mainly a level designer for Desaria 2. I'm actually from northeast of Atlanta, Georgia. And pretty much my hobbies are online gaming and internet gaming, multiplayer gaming.
My name's David. I go by Falcon on Lusaria. My role on the development team is content generation and world building. Hobbies go as reading, writing, online gaming, much like Ash, and pretty much anything related to Lusaria. I'm from Nova Scotia, Canada.
My name's Tony. I go by Jahanam on the forums and in the game. I'm one of the founding members of Lusaria. I'm a world builder and DM online. I enjoy, of course, gaming. No one did this for very long if they didn't. I'm a father of two boys. I live in Georgia. I've known Mel Fabian most of my life. We grew up together, so this has been a common interest for us as well through the years.
Fantastic. And I'd also like to mention that I have played The Persistent World and completely enjoyed it. Now for questions. This should be fun. Let's see. This is all for all three of you. I would like you each to, in your own words, tell us about the Persistent World and how you want your listeners to perceive it.
Lusaria 2, as you may have read on the forum, started out as a pen and paper game of Dungeons and Dragons some years ago. Jay and I were both involved in that. And at the time that Neverwinter Nights was released, Neverwinter Nights 1, we decided to turn it into a gaming environment to continue our pen and paper world into a CRPG realm. Initially, mainly for the players that we played with in the pen and paper game to continue playing together as we had drifted to various parts of the country over time. And, of course, from there it grew to what we know as Lusaria and eventually Lusaria 2 today, which is was initially beyond anything we dreamed it would at the time.
Lusaria 2, of course, as Ash said, is a Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent World. It's located in the Persistent World story category on GameSpot, for those of you who are interested in checking it out. It's a role-play-rich server based on a world that has been developed for years, as Ash said, back pen and paper and Neverwinter Nights 1. It's set in the city of Seer, just for some background information. It's a Dusarian settlement. It's under the regime of the Varian Emperor, and players will be exposed to a very history-rich and lore-rich environment, and are welcome to pursue new challenges and new adventures in a new environment.
Lusaria 2 is, of course, a 24/7 Persistent World server. The campaign setting and concept is the original creation. It's not based on any Forgotten Realms or any other game world. I think that the world offers players a new and fresh outlook on a sea setting, and most importantly, providing players the opportunity to shape and affect the campaign as a whole. I think that's something that makes Lusaria special. I think that the most valuable asset to Lusaria right now is its community players, which have kept the campaign alive and dynamic all through the years. We're going on 5 years now this September, and the Lusarian player community is always changing and growing, but I think that we have a real tradition of quality playing that provides excitement. It's just hard to match.
And on to second question, Tony. I went through and read on your website, and I saw that it did in fact start with a pen and paper setting. And could you tell us a little bit about that and how it developed from here?
Much of the campaign, as far as geography and the base kind of political situation, was all developed in our pen and paper game years ago. Gosh, we're probably pushing on 10 or 11 years ago when this all started. Of course, as people get out of school, they drift apart, get jobs, get families, it becomes increasingly difficult to get the gang together in one place, on one bond of place. So our original idea was, as Ash had mentioned earlier, was to provide a way for us to get together and continue. As we started development, we thought, well, maybe we'll leave it up and see if anybody drops by. And people started coming by, and the next thing you know, the server was full. So here we are.
Oh, that's great. What noticeable differences are there between your original Lusaria and Lusaria 2? Anybody want to answer that?
Sure. as far as on the plot goes, I think it's a 180-degree turnaround. A lot of our old research from Disaria 1 can attest to the fact that the entire outlook and goals of the players have changed dramatically since the first campaign. You're basically playing the bad guy now in the second Disaria, or a subject of the bad guys before the bad guys in Disaria 1. Disaria 1 was based on a campaign of a long siege war with an evil empire encroaching upon a small Sin kingdom, so to speak. That's kind of a generic overview of the plot. And all the players played as subjects of this smaller kingdom. And now Disaria 2, that's been turned around, is playing minions, or say minions. They're playing subjects of this empire now, after it's conquered the smaller country. It's set some 50-so-odd years in the future, so it's not like anyone is playing the same characters. Other than that, as far as mechanics in the community, I don't think a whole lot has changed. We still have a great community and great support. One of the things that has changed a lot, fortunately for Jay and I, is the number of developers and the amount of help we've had in developing this second go-around. I don't think it would have been impossible without all the additional help we've had with the team time, as opposed to starting out with just the two of us the first time.
Okay, great. And David, this question's for you. You have been with Disaria since the beginning, pretty much, and you kind of grew up in it. And I wanted to ask you what you thought about the fact that you guys are number one in the vault. You are the winners of the contest for March of 2007. You have 40-plus votes with a perfect 10 score, which in my opinion is just amazing. And what about the persistent world do you think stands out and against all the rest, and why the community has received it so well?
Well, first off, I'm really overjoyed and happy that Disaria has been so successful. So many people have had so much enjoyment out of the server. It's a great place to game, and I'm glad that it's definitely out there. In terms of standing out and why it's so well received by the gaming community as a whole, I think it lies in its flexibility, in the freedom of the players. You can literally just jump on the server, roll a character with an idea, and make it happen. Naturally, there's going to be some limitations, but that fall within the scope of the campaign. But if you've got an idea, if you've got a character idea, you can make it happen. And that really ties into DM support and how the DMs can really step up to the plate and help you with that. If a group of players or a set of players are interested in initiating something significant or insignificant, they can receive DM support in order for those actions to have lasting, real-time consequences that would otherwise be beyond their abilities using just the player client. You could launch some kind of player-run event, and you could go to bed and wake up the next morning and log in, and the real world could be changed. There could be new buildings, new NPCs that reflect what happened last night that you initiated. And players, I think, they really enjoy that element of control, that dynamic element that really makes Disaria so attractive. It's your destiny. You can control it. It's something that I think players are looking for. When you have MMORPGs out there, which are strict and stringent, and it's hard to really carve your own path. And in Disaria, that's a very real possibility. It's something that you can do.
Thank you, David. We decided to play the Persistent World because we read your rules and we read up on your website, and we really thought it sounded like a fun place to be, which, by the way, it completely was. All right, Tony, this question is for you. After playing Disaria myself, I noticed the nice flow, the low latency. Your server ran very well. Would you like to tell our listeners exactly what kind of hardware and server support you use?
Well, as when Neverwinter Nights 2 launched, we purchased, I would say, a middle-end server. I don't really go into specific about it, but we do have a decent connection. It's a commercial-grade server, and as far as bandwidth, Neverwinter Nights 2 is pretty kind to the server, so we have a good connection, but, you know.
I personally was impressed. I ran around just fabulously in there.
Yeah, we're pretty happy with the performance that we've gotten out of it. On Disaria 1, we used the Link server. We probably would have liked to do that, but we were work with what we have. So we purchased a nice Windows server. It's current, up to date, good processor, and you know, here we go.
Okay, Ash, back to you. Desari 2 is the name of a province in the central in the storyline with its world. Are you guys planning on expanding Desari 2 into other provinces in the future?
I'd like to say we're all the planning stuff. That would be great. I would love to do that. As anyone that's been involved in a PW project before knows, time and resources of the team are a major limitation. I'd really love to see what we have fleshed out now really come to life with a lot more content first before we even attempted something like that, which I think is something the team is in consensus about. But yeah, in the long run, I'd love to see it, whether it will ever happen or not. Who knows?
All right, David, since you were a player for so long, I actually want to ask you this specifically. In the duration of both Desari and Desari 2, has there ever been a player-made character which has really taken you by surprise, left some sort of imprint in your mind that just amazed you?
Wow, there's really so many characters out there that I've come in contact with in Desari 1 and Desari 2. Mostly Desari 1, because of its long-lasting runtime. There are a few characters out there which really had a lasting impact on the server, that when you look back on the forums, their name keeps popping up back and back and back, and you can tell that that individual made a lasting effect. One such individual, a young warrior from Korda, on a journey to find her father's gravesite. And in this quest, she accomplished a lot on the server that really kind of really changed it. I guess one big thing was the creation of a player faction called the Kingseeker Knights, and their mandate, their objective was to seek the return of the sovereign of Desaria. Desaria at the time was run by an oligarchy. It was run by a council of lords in absence of a sovereign, of a monarchy, and the Kingseekers were searching for the return of the monarch. And this one character had sort of formed this faction, and that wasn't their only mandate. They were involved in so many other characters on the server. They were really a versatile faction. They initiated a lot of player run events, and that one character, she really was involved in a lot of players' lives.
She sounds very creative.
Well, she's still
a player.
I can only hope to start role playing that good someday. Seems like you guys have a very loyal community base that come and play.
Oh, yeah.
It seems to me, anyway, from what I can tell, how you guys talk.
Yeah, I mean, I think it almost goes without saying, and we forget sometimes, because we think it all goes without saying, but it doesn't. We need to say it, that we would be nothing without our community. We've got, I think, the greatest group of loyal players that any PW could ask for.
Yeah, and I'm turning into one. All right, Tony, this question is for you. Was it the intention to create these quests to be played in groups, or is it possible to solo them as well?
Well, when we design content, it's designed for a party play. So I'm going to say that on the average, content is made for solo ability. It's designed for a small, you know, 2 to 3 player group in general. Now, there are plenty of characters and plenty of builds that manage to solo it, but what we aim for is a good challenge to a small, average build group, you know, a well-balanced group. So, I see people solo in on the server all the time, and a lot of people enjoy that challenge. And there is going to be some content that's designed for the solo player in mind, but I think that we have to be fair to the groups out there, and that's what we're really shooting for. It's a multiplayer game, so we want to encourage people to be social, to interact. Well, that's where the depth of campaign really comes through.
Yeah, I agree. I went in with one other person, and then another day with two people, and we had a really good time, but it's, individually, no way. We would have never made it through.
If there are some quests out there that you can tackle solo. Like Tony said, it depends on the build and the player and whatnot. But definitely, it really depends on the situation.
Okay, I'm going to throw in a couple improv questions here. David, what is your favorite character to play?
my favorite characters in class race combo.
Yeah.
I love the wizard himself. I've had some difficulties getting into the class in Disaria 2, thanks to the spellcaster prodigy and stuff. So I haven't really been working on a spellcaster. I like the paladin. Mm-hmm. I like the lawful paladin, and I like the lawful fighter. But I've played all of them in Disaria 1. I'm really not partial to one or another. Whatever creativity points me to.
How about you, Tony? Same question.
Well, I don't get to play nearly as much as I would like to. Always feel guilty when I get on playing that I should be DMing or I should be building, so I don't get to play too much. I really enjoy Druids at this point, and I have a rogue that I'm enjoying quite a bit, that I always play with friends around when we need a break, so, yeah.
And how about you, Ash?
I've been kind of pigeonholed into the rogue archetype, as that's what I've always played previously, but in Disaria 2, I think I've picked up I'm playing a fighter right now that I'm really enjoying, and I think she's specializing into a weapon master, which has kind of been interesting. I haven't played around with the PRCs in WN2 yet, to a great extent, so it's still fun finding a new, getting out of my task, so to speak.
Tony, we actually had a chance to talk yesterday afternoon, and you were telling me about DM-led events and the opportunity for small guilds to come in and have player-ran events and stuff. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, basically, in the story, we have two basic types of events. One is the standard spontaneous type quest DM-led adventure that you'll often see. Another thing that we really try to focus on, and this is really a cornerstone of the whole project, is we allow, you know, groups of players or even single players to come up with an objective that they would like to accomplish for their group or for their character. If they let us know what they would like to accomplish, then we hop on and support it. They don't supply us with a scripted event whatsoever. They just give us an objective, something that they would like to accomplish. And we'll take that, improv, and develop it, throw them curves or all types of confusing things for them to make it entertaining and fun. So that's really the aspect that allows Disaria to be dynamic and changing and always new, is the fact that the players can make a difference on the server. So, and also, we are planning, we haven't actually even unveiled the primary theme of the campaign yet. Right now, we're still in the final stages of what we call the beta. As soon as we close out the beta, we'll be revealing what will be the prevailing theme for the campaign. So all this is really just an introduction to the setting. So it's very exciting.
Oh, I'm sure everybody's looking forward to that then.
Yeah, we're all excited.
Everybody's kind of have that little anticipation going on. All right, now this is actually my favorite question. Tell me about the magic spoon. I gotta know. Who came up with that and how?
Yeah, we have one of our builders, a very talented builder. He's been with us on and off for a long time. His name is Jeff. He is actually a Romanian-born person living in England right now.
Tell him I said, you know what? I know how to speak Romanian. I'm at a complete loss right
but,
now.
But if you knew him from his personality, you would see that really shining through in the spoon quest. So.
I absolutely just cracked up when I got a magic spoon, and you guys listened to the podcast 17, and Tony, actually, you even quoted me saying, "Which I still have a spoon." And yeah, I was like, I want to know if that spoon has any bearing, or do I have to keep it?
I think it's pretty safe to let it go by the wayside unless you want to keep it to prepare your meals around a campfire.
Yeah, I might keep it just for my pure amusement.
Yeah.
I had really, it was pretty fun. All right. Are you guys planning on any special events in the future that you have calendared yet?
We haven't set a date for the unveiling. We're shooting for, we're aiming to put in the final tier of content in the next couple of weeks. At that point, we will probably unveil the theme in a series of events that are going to lead up to the revelation of the theme. So, as with any kind of construction project, there are delays, so I'm scared to put a timeline on it, but we are working full steam toward that end, so soon.
So in other words, I need to get in there and get further into the campaigns and stuff.
Happy, but don't rush it.
I don't rush anything. Are you kidding? We goof off role-playing so much. We have too much fun. Absolutely. Okay, now this is going to be for all three of you, and we can take turns. Ash, do you have any possible questions for us here at Podcast? And do you have any words you'd like to express about Dessaria 2 yourself?
Yeah, Dessaria, I'm probably the only member of the team that's been there pretty much full time from start to finish. So it's a joy burden for me, but it's something I really enjoy. Being a part of, I like participating with the community, and I like the feeling of service, and that I like the fact that we provide a free entertainment medium. So we've always tried to keep it free, so that's nice. No, we try very rarely to ask for donations. There have been a couple of times in the past where we needed some help, and the community's always responded wildly for us, so that was wonderful. But
do you have somewhere that if somebody felt grateful and said they wanted to donate?
We didn't feel right about putting up a donation link at this point because our needs are met right now. You know, they're all taken care of. If at a point where we need something like that, I think that we will pass the hat, so to speak, if we get in a situation. But so long as we can provide it, you know, without doing that kind of thing, I think that all the staff members feel more comfortable with that. Yeah, but I have had people expressing interest in that before, but I said, well, I'll let you know when it's... Yeah, oh, you'll hear.
When we need it, we will talk to you. Neverwinter Nights in general has the most amazing community I've ever seen in any gaming format. The unity and the interactiveness and everything else is, come on, it's almost going on 6 years strong now, all because of the community. Not because of the official campaign or anything else, but the capability that Neverwinter Nights gave other people to share their creativity. And that's why I just adore it.
That's very good.
David, you ready for this question now? Would you like to make any comments about Dessaria 2 and to tell the listeners anything on your own personal note and have any questions for
I think Tony pretty much took the words out of my mouth in terms of the question. First of all, thanks for having us here and doing this interview. We appreciate this.
Oh, you're very
in
welcome.
In terms of Dessaria 2 and Dessaria in general, will always be something very, very important to me. I, as we mentioned yesterday afternoon, I kind of grew up with Dessaria. I was a freshman in high school and decided one night to log onto a server called Dessaria, Neverwinter Nights the original. And, I mean, there it is. I've been playing here for 5 years, off and on, mostly on. And it's just been a great community and a great place to meet new people. The community itself has evolved in so many ways. There have been people that have met across incredible distances that have cultivated amazing relationships that have resulted in marriages over the past few years. So there's really is a tight-knit community of people that really they share a common interest in gaming, role-playing, and just basically having a good time. And really welcome anyone to come by and join us, and join the fun.
I'm back. I apologize for that. I was actually listening or trying to listen the whole time there. I just wanted to pull it out as well, based on just to take off from what Tony and David were saying there. interesting fact is we've never recruited from the community. Other than Tony and myself, obviously, after we started this, between the two of us, every other DM and builder we've ever had has been a player from the community. So,
who could better represent the game than the players themselves?
I think it speaks to its longevity, too, because a bulk of the development team have had a hand in really cultivating the history of this area, and as a result, they're attached to it, and they want to see that tale continue to its inevitable conclusion, hopefully a long way, way in the future, to as much Asaria as possible.
Yeah, I'm like kind of wishing that I actually started playing Persistent Worlds in Neverwinter Nights, not wait till 2. But I actually had to be talked into it, and now I'm happy that I was. So, hey, Ash, do you have any questions for
Tony? I was kind of curious about how you guys got started as well. I know that your listeners probably already know all that. I think it's a great thing you're doing.
Okay.
I'll probably be listening to all your episodes, you know.
Oh, well, thank you. That's great. I'm glad you guys came. I appreciate the time you took out for your evening, and I really enjoyed doing this. This is my first interview, and you guys are my best people.
Good job. Thank you.
Very great. Thanks.
You guys have a great night.
I know, though, that I wanted to talk about something else. There was I know you and Trey talked about the listener survey.
Yes.
And there was a couple of questions about, you know, hey, I can't find it. And we have reworked the webpage a little bit. I did some work on it just yesterday.
But there was a lot of stuff that didn't apply
to try
on the survey.
To move that stuff around. Now, I haven't gone all the way through it. Trey set that up, but I did go through a little bit of it. But the link is over on the right-hand side. I know we've got lots of buttons and stuff over there, but it says listener survey on there if you're still looking for it. That is through PodTrack, which is a podcasting tracking website that compiles all that stuff back. And I was going to get with Trey and see what kind of control we have over those questions, or if we may not have any, but we'll find
mm-hmm.
out.
Yeah, I actually did the survey, and there's a lot of questions that don't even apply. And I wasn't really sure what to do with them.
Yeah, I started it. I'm like going, well, my concern was it's really long.
It's very long. it needs an NA button for.
I thought it had one, but maybe it didn't.
Not all of them do.
Also, wanted to mention that we have got a donate button up there that we kind of put a feelers out there, and you guys said you were cool with that, and we've got a couple of donations. So I wanted to say a big thank you to those folks that have done that, and. Trey and I kind of went back and forth. I said, I want to say their names. He goes, maybe they don't want to know their names on there. So if you donated and would like us to mention your name and you're okay with that, just let me know. I'd be happy to do it because I really appreciate that. That's helping pay for the equipment that we bought and helping us make the show better.
The show's awesome.
I'm showing that I listen to you guys because here.
Can I say that now that I'm on the staff? Can I still say, wow, the show is so awesome and I love it?
You can, but not as much.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can't even leave my cute little comments anymore. I just go in there and post milk and cookies now.
So I was going to prove to you guys, I've been listening, because I know you were also talking about posting some comments or questions into the forums for people to send us questions when we're going to do an interview. I did it. I put some out there for you guys. We are working on an interviews with Community Expansion Pack. We're also trying to figure out how to cover character builds. And we've got an interview we're trying to plan with Neverwinter Nights 2 Database, which is a site about character builds. Those links will be in the show notes. If you guys have any questions about that or suggestions for any other interviews, go to those threads and post your questions, and we will use that in our list when we interview them. So we want to give you guys that ability to influence how the interviews go. So we're going to give you a heads up of what interviews we're working on so you can submit a question in. And then we can get that on our list and get that answered for you.
Okay, I'll go submit questions.
Michelle's gone for the rest of the show. And I know in the past we've also talked about the audio issues that we've had. We did lose some mic from UK. I apologize. We were never able to get through with their support and get your message out. I'm dying to know what's going on with the DM sessions when you got in-game and leveled up, and I know that's several months old, but I was hoping we'd be able to retrieve that. if you could contact me, send me an email at jay@neverwinternightspodcast.com. I would love to get a hold of you and get to know what happened there, because you've perked my interest on DMing games as well. So I want to get caught up with what's going on with you. Also, the audio thing is working now. If you want to leave us an audio question, or if you have some kind of update about a world or a mod that you would like to send us, it is working now. I've tested it. I've tested it with their support several times, so it's good now. Till next week. Hopefully it'll stay. Stay up.
Murphy's Law. Yeah. You just said that. Knock on something.
There
we go.
Yeah, we're good.
Knock on the wood. Seriously, just like sealing your own fate.
Well, it's been up and down. I know that they're at a real volatile time with their company, because they've kind of broken away from their parent company and they're trying to find their legs on their own. And it was very stable before then, and they're trying to make some changes in a real short period of time, and they don't always get it right. I mean, people make mistakes, so.
Thanks for listening, and if you have any questions, comments, or show ideas, send them to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. Or you can post them to our forums on our website located at neverwinternightspodcast.com.
Also, while you're on our site, you can add your shout-out to our Frapper map by clicking the Frapper logo. And if you're a member of a mod team that would like to have your module featured on the Mod Spotlight, check out the Submit a Mod Spotlight page on our website. Until next week, get in game
and level up.